king of the kingdom wants out of his people, read the Sermon on the Mount. And it's antithetical to so many of the values that obviously are in the world, but sometimes have seeped into the church. And so I want to encourage you to read it. The preamble, Michelle, I'm popping down fast through this. The preamble to the kingdom of the Constitution is the Beatitudes. And they're just such a striking, what a thing to do to come out of the gate. Jesus, I want to define blessedness in my kingdom. And then he starts throwing out things like poor in the spirit and mourning and meeking. But his definition of what it is to be blessed in this dark age is so different than how we think about it in the dark age that we live in. So I want to encourage you to read the Beatitudes, pray the Beatitudes. They truly do offer for us what Jesus's priorities were. So let me read them for you. There's 8 of them, and they are these. Blessed are the poor in spirit in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's a right now reality. If you're in poverty of spirit, you've got that. You're walking in that reality. I'm going to define it in a minute. Then you now have the present dynamic rule of heaven operating for you and with you. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. It's number 7. And number 8 is, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is. There's 6 of them that are shall be, 2 is's. And the is the first one, poverty of spirit. If you have poverty of spirit, you have the kingdom now. If you are persecuted now, then you have the kingdom of God in this place. So there's 2 more verses that explain what persecuted for his righteous sake means, which is blessed are you when others revile you and persecute and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So I covered that last week real quick. I want to give you some definitions for these what can be misunderstood phrases. And you go dig. I read Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. If you get a chance, he defines these things. But really quick, let me do them. Poor in spirit. What in the world is that? I believe that it's a heightened sense of spiritual need breaking off the chains of self-sufficiency. I believe that poverty of spirit, Michelle, I have these, I sent them to, not Bonhoeffer's, the ones I sent you today. Poor in spirit means a heightened sense of spiritual need breaking off the chains of self-sufficiency. The plague, the stain of the Adam's race is the worship of self and our delusion that we are self-sufficient in ourselves. So I wanted to just encourage you to pray around this. Poverty of spirit doesn't mean you just walk around down poor in spirit, okay? I believe God gives you money. I believe God can give you success in what you're doing. But poverty of spirit is a heart culture that breaks off the chains of self-sufficiency. To mourn is the next one. Blessed are those who mourn, they'll be comforted. That's a heart disposition that recognizes the counterfeit joy of this broken age, grieving the lack for the glory of God and the love for one another. Yeah, see, we don't have it. Sorry. We should plan better. But I'll send these notes out to you, okay? But it is a heart disposition. Mourning is not, I'm just sad all the time. The Bible's clear that we're to rejoice in the Lord always. But I believe that there is to be in every believer a culture of mourning that's recognizing the counterfeit party that the world's offering or the counterfeit lies of how to get happy, how to be full. You're noticing that and you're grieving the lack of the glory of God and the love of God among his people and the people of earth. Meekness is humility and gentleness that rejects the worldly sources of power, strength, and influence for gain. Basically, meekness is humility. It's making war on pride. And oh, how we need that in the church so deeply. And I want to say this, and I meant to say it at the beginning, but I believe we got to know the Sermon on the Mount and know the Beatitudes because it comes from the greatest teacher ever, and he's talking about the kingdom, but because I think we're about to go through some of the greatest persecution ever, and I think we're about to steward some of the greatest power ever on planet Earth. Both are coming. persecution and trouble, they're coming. Our Bible says it. And there's power going to manifest, I think, like never before. And there's no way we'll steward that well unless we have these values in us. So meekness is humility, hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's appetite for the king and the kingdom of God. To be merciful is maturing in radical love that bears and acquits and transforms the offensive, unforgiving culture of this dark age. It's the family of God that's turning the other cheek, okay? It's that mercy explosion that comes out. It's not looking for justice on this side. We're laying down our rights to justice, that every act of dishonor, we've got to have payment for, or every act of, if it will, even overt persecution toward us somehow has got to be paid back. We're a merciful people manifesting the mercy of God, and through it, we're preaching the cross and the ultimate mercy that came through Jesus Christ. Last second, three more. Pureness, it's singleness of vision. The purity in heart, it's singleness of vision, like a dove that can just see one thing for the king and his kingdom that strives against mixture. I pray around this one a lot, that the Lord would put purity in my heart, that he would put purity in leaders' hearts and people who stand on stages. Ray Perez and the Perezettes, thank you very much. That was awesome. But what a wonderful platform and a dangerous platform. I talk about it all the time. That you live in the Western culture where guys like me and talented people like that can stand on platforms is both a blessing and just like an amazing temptation. We need a church that's not walking in mixture, not just lukewarmness, but that we're not using the platforms of ministry for our own fame, that we're praying for something pure in the body of Christ in a deep level. And so pray into that for you and for me and for all of us. Peacemakers, repairers of the breach between God and man and man through kingdom processes that we're working on peace. And lastly, the persecuted are the afflicted and resisted and those that have suffering both in the spirit and the natural. I just want to emphasize that for the sake of righteousness in Jesus' name. It's a persecution. Your persecution can come physically, and it doesn't come a ton in this culture, but it can come. It's coming in Iran. It's coming in North Korea. It may come here, but there's definitely persecution in the spirit realm. The enemy is kicking back against everything that's for righteousness and for the glory of Jesus. And so he says, blessed are you when this happens. Last week I shared how my brother likes to quote this to me about evangelism and how it's win-win. You share the gospel and somebody receives it, win, soul saved forever. You share the gospel, they reject you, laugh at you, maybe even hit you, win, because yours is the kingdom of heaven right in that place. You get blessed either way. And so I want to encourage you to, again, do this. In Matthew chapter 5, 3 through like 11, 12, pray the Beatitudes. Go after them. I wish I could be in every leadership meeting with all the young church planters, begging them that they would make the Beatitudes their goal and their focus, not just great speaking ability, prominent personality, and big buildings. I'm telling you, if we produce the ministry by flesh, we're going to get a product of disciples who walk in the flesh. Somebody understand that? If we've got to move by the Spirit and represent the right kingdom. And so this stuff doesn't rally everybody to applaud, but I'm begging you, I'm begging young ones to consider the wisdom of the wisest man that ever walked the earth and happened to be God. Poverty of spirit is essential. Purity of spirit, mourning, meekness, learn it now. I've had to have trial beat it into me for 40 years of being saved, 30 years of ministry. I wish I'd come out of the gate in my 20s and known these were the priorities, but I would read those and go, well, that's boring. I don't see how I'm going to get applause from that, but the Lord has transformed my heart, and I believe we're about to see some of the greatest days on planet Earth of ministry, and he needs people like that that can steward it in the future. So, Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus, would you, by the power of your Spirit, sow the Beatitudes into us? Would you sow the Sermon on the Mount into us as a family? I pray for integrity and purity. Free us from the need for performance and applause. God, I pray for a people that are resolved to give you glory and are mourning, that we're just completely grieved by the glory that's being stolen from you by celebrity and sport and money and drug. Lord, I pray we grieve the lack of love that's happening, not only in the body of Christ, but on the earth. And Lord, I just ask that you truly would set our hearts, that we would boldly proclaim your gospel, and we would count it as a gift when we're persecuted. Lord, I thank you for the family of God and those that heard this and will listen to it or watch it later. Would you truly set these as high priorities in the kingdom? In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you.